Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them.
I promise you, the crying could be heard from miles away. It was the next to last night of annual conference. We'd been sleeping, all five of us, in the same hotel room for close to a week. So sleeping might be an exaggeration of what was actually happening at nighttime. We'd been eating out every single meal, and currently it was about an hour past the twins' bedtime. Worship had just ended in the large conference hall where 2,000 or so brethren had gathered to be enriched and renewed, and Ezra and Cyrus had had enough. Everett was going to get to go to an insight session with Daddy, while they had to go back to the room with Mommy, and that was simply more than they could handle. And so they cried, sobbed. Actually, howled is probably closer to the truth, and I was stuck. They are too big for me to carry them both the whole way, and so I just grabbed their hands, and we walked slowly, because their poor little legs could only move so fast while they were crying their hearts out. We walked all the way across the conference room floor, all the way down the hall to the exit, all the way to the street, all the way across the block and into our hotel lobby, all the way up the elevator, all the way to our room. They cried the whole way. Cried and cried and cried. Now, there are times when your child is red-faced, screaming with tears running down their face, and you get judgy looks. You know you've done it. You have looked at a parent thinking, why can't they keep that child quiet? If you're looking at me, you're thinking, why can't she keep all those children quiet? But on this night, on the howl their way back to the hotel room night, I got no judgment looks, but I got all kinds of compassionate looks. Parents made eye contact with me and mouthed the words, sorry, or been there. The next day, when I was telling a friend about it, I had sufficiently recovered from the trauma to be laughing about it at this point. They said that they had heard the crying somewhere in the conference room and wondered if it was maybe me and my kids. I don't know what that says about our family or maybe about our friends, but there it is. And she followed this up by saying, annual conference is just not built for little kids. Now, annual conference does do a good job. They work hard to make it a family experience. There are great and affordable programs for kids and teens that offer day trips and adventures and opportunities to learn and serve together. But it is an uphill battle in this world. It's especially an uphill battle for little kids. The days are long, the nights are late, and so much of the world is not kid-friendly. Think about it. Nice restaurants, not kid-friendly. Hotel rooms, airplanes, movie theaters, vehicles. I mean, seriously, you have to buy accessories in order to transport them safely. Anywhere that has light-colored carpet, not kid-friendly. Bathrooms, please, you need a stool to reach the sinks, and don't get me started on the toilets. The world is not built for little kids. They are dependent on adults to guide them through it, and vulnerable to mistreatment, and all around just needy. The world is not built for little kids. This was perhaps even more true in Jesus's day. Children's lives were precarious, Professor William McLean notes, which made it easy to disregard them. They were not productive members of society and therefore were often ignored, abused, abandoned, or sold. Children are vulnerable to and dependent on adults. And it was not outside standard practice for adults like the disciples to dismiss them. What was incredibly outside of standard practice, what was different, was for Jesus, this important rabbi, to welcome them, to embrace them, to tenderly and compassionately notice them. Jesus' vision for the kingdom, for the community that gathers in his name, trying to follow in his ways, is a place of welcome, a place where the vulnerable are embraced, the dependent are tenderly seen as valuable. It's not just children for whom this world is not built. There are any number of people and groups who exist outside of society's norms. People who need our welcome, people who need a place to belong. Jesus' welcome is radical. But in this scripture, he does not stop with the welcome. He takes things a step further by raising the children up as an example of faith. Whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it, Jesus says. And that turns the world upside down. We like the message of welcome. We are comfortable with it. It's a good message. But being the welcomers can have a paternalistic edge. Being the ones in power, welcoming the vulnerable and showing them the way, Jesus turns that upside down. The children, the younger among us, the vulnerable among us, the dependent among us, they have something to teach us. We like to think that their dependence, their smallness, their vulnerability, their outsider or forgotten status makes them need us. But the reality is, we need them too, so that we can learn to be like them. Whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. We lose something as we get older. The more capable we become, the more we think we know, we stop being curious. The more battles we fight can make us become more cynical, more jaded. We need our children. Kids, we need you. We need your curiosity, your trust, your openness to wonder and to miracle. We need you, front and center, to remind us. We need our youth. We need our college students. We need you, with your passion, your idealism, with your sense of adventure and discovery. We need you here, among us, leading us. We need you to remind us. We need people who are different to teach us, people whom society has forgotten or oppressed, folks with special needs or those who are different from us in socioeconomic standing or race or gender identity or sexual identity or theological leaning. We need them. We need you to show us the way. Because for whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. You have something to teach us, about welcoming God's kingdom. Something to teach us about being God's kingdom. This community, this place we are trying to create, these are truths we must learn from you about our own vulnerability, the invitation to need one another and to need God, to depend on each other and to depend on God. And so as school begins, we have an opportunity for new beginnings. This community is at this very moment becoming a new thing as we welcome new folks into our midst. Jesus calls us to create a place, create a kingdom, create a community where we learn to be vulnerable with one another so that we can learn to be vulnerable and dependent on God. We need each other. So how might you practice that more fully? Perhaps you will invite someone new out for a meal, or you'll risk sitting with a stranger at the brunch today and swap some stories. Maybe you will decide to volunteer in our nursery or with our Sunday school program so that you can learn from the children in a really direct way. Maybe you'll commit to serving with the community soup kitchen meal, or, as Pam has invited us, to try just attending the community meal with your family. We all need to be fed. It's possible that a good practice for you might be to simply name to another human being where it is that you see God at work in your life, or where it is that you most keenly feel God's absence. I don't know what kind of need you have or what kind of vulnerability God may want to teach you, but I do believe our community is better together when we are honest about and open to the reality that we need and that we need each other. And I know that part of how we learn to depend on God is that we risk depending on others. So, sisters and brothers, what kind of place can we create together? Can we become a place where, without shame, we embrace our need for one another, trusting that we are loved by God and drawn into relationship with one another and with all others who are beloved by God? Can we welcome God's upside-down kingdom like children? We need each other. We need you. May we embrace each other and this place, this upside-down kingdom community, together. Amen.